Clearly, there was no point in breaking into a 23-room mansion on the off chance of coming upon the hidden key. Pierce had to have more information, and as he continued his surveillance, it became evident that this information could be obtained only from Mr. Trent himself, who alone would know the location of the key. Pierce had failed in every attempt to strike up a personal acquaintance with Mr. Trent. Henry Fowler, who shared with Pierce an occasional gentleman's evening on the town, had been approached on the subject of Trent, but Fowler had said the man was religious, proper, and rather a bore in conversation, and he added that his wife, though pretty, was equally tedious. These comments, when brought forward in trial testimony, caused Mr. Fowler considerable embarrassment. But then Mr. Fowler was confronted with much greater embarrassments later. Pierce could hardly press for an introduction to such an unappetizing couple, nor could he approach Trent directly, pretending business with the bank. Henry Fowler would rightly expect that Pierce would bring any business to him, nor did Pierce know anyone except Fowler who was acquainted with Trent. In short, Pierce had no gammon to play, and by the 1st of August he was considering several desperate ploys, such as staging an accident in which he would be run down by a cab in front of the Trent household, or a similar episode in front of the bank. But these were cheap tricks, and to be effective, they would require some degree of genuine injury to Pierce. Understandably, he was not happy at the prospect, and kept postponing the matter. Then, on the evening of August the 3rd, Mr. Trent suddenly changed his established routine. He returned home at his usual time, 7:20, but he did not go indoors. Instead, he went directly to the dog run at the back of the house and put one of his bulldogs on a leash. Petting the animal elaborately, he climbed back into his waiting carriage and drove off. When Pierce saw that, he knew he had his man.